Again, thank you for joining me today. And for these next few moments, let our hearts and our minds listen and reflect upon what God is saying. Let there be peace and rejoicing in our heart in the midst of sometimes difficult times that the world is in. From the gospel reading today, as from yesterday, we know that Jesus was in the area of Capernaum and he entered Simon's house. Who is this Simon? Simon Peter, the first pope of the Roman Catholic Church. And it says that, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with high fever, and they requested him concerning her to be healed. Simon Peter was married because he had a mother-in-law. And so after the mother-in-law was healed, she rose and immediately served them. And here comes again the time when there was some demon-possessed people and they were saying, acknowledging who Christ was, and he rebuked them. And then what he did was he healed more people. And then after that, he had to leave Capernaum and go to other places. And that is the purpose of the church. We preach the gospel to different places. Jesus was an itinerant missionary that went from one place to another. Today, I would like to reflect on something from the writings of the Apostle Paul from First Thessalonians chapter 5, and I will be focusing on verse 16. Let me give you a little bit of background. During the second missionary journey of St. Paul with Silas and Timothy, they went to Thessalonica from Philippi. And it was his custom, by this time he was in Thessalonica, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue, more like Christ, and explained and proved from the scriptures that the Christ should suffer and rise from the dead, asserting that Jesus was the Christ. As a result of Paul's preaching, some Jews believe, and great many of the devout Greeks, and perhaps some few leading women believed. But then the problem was the people, the Jews of Thessalonica, stirred an opposition against Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And unfortunately, they had to leave Thessalonica. Later, Paul sends Timothy back, and Timothy now writes to the apostle to share some news about the new Christians there. And then now, Paul was writing and said, I commend you for your courage in times of persecutions. And he encouraged them further. Then he added several more encouragements on how they need to live their lives, their new life in Christ, until Christ's return. Let me read to you 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14 to 22. Now we exhort you, brethren, and warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. So first he said, warn the unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, and help uphold those who are weak, and be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Now, here is verse 16. Rejoice always. Verse 17. Pray without ceasing. And verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He continued by saying, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from any form of evil. So I would like to start today and this next couple of days about these verses that Paul was saying to the church in Thessalonica. First he said, rejoice always. How can we rejoice always? For many modern readers, to rejoice always is to be equated with being happy all the time. We have to be happy all the time. That's what the world is saying to us or telling us. If you are not happy, something is wrong with me. Now, let us explain it from St. Paul's perspective. First, let me give you an example from the life of David. Let's look at the life of David and learn from him. He said in the book of Psalms, this is David saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. These are not the exact words, but I think the gist is about the same. I will bless the Lord at all times. And I'm sure that there were times that David was going through some difficult moments. And did he really bless the Lord even in those difficult moments? Could there be a reason for us to rejoice even in difficult circumstances? Let's first continue with the life of David. David had experienced God's rescue in great dangers that he faced in life. Like when he was in the desert tending the flock, and there was a lion who tried to destroy the flock, and he actually prevented the lion from devouring the flock and killed the lion, killed the animal. God was also with him when he faced the giant Goliath. And we can say David in particular experienced God's protection upon his life. When King Saul attempted several times to annihilate him or to kill him, having escaped death, he were setting up norms for his life. He molded his soul to an exact manner of living, so that he ceased at no time from praise. Because of what David had gone through, the fact that God has saved him many times in his life, he knew that whenever something bad happens, that he learned and trained himself to praise God. Not because of the problem. He turned to God at the beginning of the affair, great or small, and then give everything to God, and he had a good reason to rejoice. Let me tell you, it is not easy for all of us, for anyone, to rejoice in difficult times. There are those who are able to smile in the midst of difficulties, but there are those who are not so gifted in that area. But let us look at it from a scriptural standpoint. The word rejoice means to be glad or delighted. To rejoice always is to see the hand of God in whatever is happening. Let me repeat what I said. It doesn't mean that it is a concoction that we of our feeling and say, I need to rejoice because the scripture says we need to always rejoice. But the reason why Paul said rejoice always is this, is because Christians can see the hand of God in whatever is happening. That the end can always be good in God, because God is a God of salvation. Again, we can only refer to the life of Joseph, the dreamer. Without such conviction, joy would not be possible in the face of affliction, suffering, and death. It would be wrong for us to say we are rejoicing in the midst of the pandemic because there are people who have died, lost their loved ones. That's not what it means. We rejoice, we have a reason to rejoice because God does not abandon us in difficult times. That even when we go through difficult times, that God is with us. That if we entrust our lives to the Lord, the outcome will be something that will be good. Because God is the God of salvation. So even in difficult times, we can rejoice not because of people are suffering, not because people are dying, but because God is doing something in the midst of us because we have given our lives to Him. The joy that Paul calls for it is not happiness that depends on circumstances, but deep contentment that is in the Lord, that can only be found in the Lord, based on trust in the sovereign living God, and that therefore is available always, even in difficult times. Rejoicing is about looking at life from a different perspective through the eyes of our faith in the promises of God. Psalm 37 and verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. We commit ourselves not only in good times, but even in difficult times, we commit ourselves to the Lord. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. We may not be Christianity doesn't mean to be immune from difficulties and from trouble, but we have God in the midst of trouble. He is with us. And the psalmist says, and the Lord will help them and deliver them. He will deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Notice those words, trust in Him. Psalm 91. We've been praying Psalm 91 for, I would say, one year and 4 months, I guess, or 2 months. And the promise is in the Lord. We have to be in the Lord. What does it mean when we say, we are in the Lord? It means to put under or bind by an oath, synonymous to making an oath or a promise, to declare, to promise with an oath. In other words, when someone has promised and made an oath and a commitment to give his life totally and completely, entirely to God, that means he is in the Lord. We can only rejoice. We can only find the protection. We can be in the shadow of the Almighty only when we are in the Lord. So let us make sure we are in the Lord. Give your life totally, completely to Him. And when you are in the Lord, we can rejoice in the midst of difficulties because we are in the Lord.